All right, hang on. I gotta do the dumb thing.
What's that?
Okay, here we are.
Hey,
how you doing, Paul?
Good. What's going on?
Not so much. I've complained about this before, but I'm using these Bluetooth headphones, and even if they are on and connected, when the phone rings, it defaults to the phone. So after I answer, then I got to hit a few buttons, and move the audio to my ears.
Oh, good. That sounds great. Has it happened?
It's happened. Yes, it's happened. We can speak.
Okay. All right,
we
great,
can speak
great,
freely.
Great. You, in this economy? Hey, speaking about which, I got a request from Jennifer for us to talk to her this time. And I
are we in trouble?
Well, we did spend a lot of time talking about the 2016 election, but I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's something else.
Okay.
So, I was gonna go out and...
Right off the bat, huh? Okay.
Well, yeah, might as well, I figure.
Yeah.
I've quit Twitter again. We'll see for how long. I started caring too much. Was the big thing.
See, like, that's your problem.
Yeah, exactly. The big thing was, people were complaining about the Joker trailer and about how they didn't want to watch another white male entitlement fantasy movie.
No, yeah.
And the thing that was making me like crazy was it's like that doesn't come out until November. Meanwhile, the Dark Crystal series is on Netflix, like, right now. You could just watch that and enjoy it, and then maybe all the people that made it will get to keep making them.
Yeah, that's not the point, Paul. People need a reason to be angry.
But, yeah.
There's nothing to be angry about concerning the Dark Crystal
TV show. I'm sure there is.
Yeah, somebody's going to find something. I haven't even seen it yet, so I'm just...
Oh.
You know, I've still,
well, that's what I'm
I've,
mad about. You should watch it. No, it's good. I liked it.
I'm still under the illusion that it's the best thing in the world, and I can't wait to watch it. So don't ruin it for me.
It's really great. And we could talk about it after you see it. Hey, do you remember what we were going to talk about the next time you saw something?
I don't, but it doesn't matter because
you haven't
watched
seen
anything.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right, let's go outside and see what's up.
Let's do it.
Exited the room. Oh, look, it's Edward. Edward sitting by. We've determined that Edward, now there's a hierarchy. He prefers Jennifer, and then me, and then finally Betty.
All right.
It seems like. Because he will go out and, like, he loves seeing me, and he'll be, like, all bouncy and happy and everything like that. And then we'll go outside. And we'll go to the garage where Jennifer normally sits. And then he'll go underneath Jennifer's chair and then look at me and go, "All right, you can go now. Everything, I'm where I want to be." So, I'm turning the chair around. I'm sitting down by Jennifer. Okay, so Ben, Jennifer wanted me to, and I'm trying to remember the words that she told me to ask.
I remember it. I just wanted to make sure that you could cue me if I had forgotten.
Okay.
So, last week, you had that thing happen in your headphones.
Yeah.
And so you hung up, and then...
Oh, actually, did I have the thing happen in my headphones, or did Ben and I lose...
No, you had a thing, you said, "Oh, here it is again," because I said U.S. and die, or something like that. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, I don't know. Anyway, so there... The thing is that you guys continue to talk.
Yes.
And so it's recorded and overlaps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Last time, Ben was talking, he said, you know, sometimes it syncs up, but sometimes we'll both just stop, and then we'll start talking again. And when he said that, you guys both stopped.
Oh.
And started talking again at exactly the same time.
That's pretty crazy.
It was great. And since you guys don't listen to your own podcast, I thought I'd let you know.
I actually listened to the last one. I thought that the last one was... Because the last one was the one where Ben... this is what I wanted to listen to it for. The last one was the one where Ben was right and I was wrong.
Yes.
And I wanted to see how unsufferable I was before I learned that I was wrong. And I wasn't that bad, in my opinion.
Well, no, but you'd have to go through and listen to.
I know.
You'd have to go through and listen to.
There was a lot of skipping
years.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
The reason I mentioned it is that I was pretty sure with the last podcast.
So in 2016, fuck you guys.
So, I do think that the horn thing didn't happen last time. I think what happened though, Ben lost his audio. Ben could not hear me.
Okay.
And so we were
talking. So no, well, okay. So pause. I think what happened was. The moment Jennifer was talking about is not last week, but the week before.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't last week. It was the week before last week.
Okay.
I agree with both of you.
Sure.
Now.
Sounds
good. See, this is what Jennifer does. She's used to it. She'll just go, yeah, okay, sure.
At the top of...
And then I don't...
Something's wrong.
Say again, Ben.
At the top of last week's show, I had the mixer plugged in incorrectly.
Oh, okay.
But Ben, I don't need to worry about that today because I'm just using an audio recorder. I'm at home.
Hey, so also, are there going to be corrections?
There's one.
Okay, so we will check that out later.
Before you guys kind of covered the Proud Boys and you kind of got it, like, eventually, so it's all fine. I mean, it's all dudes and they're all white, and if you saw an Asian dude reporting on it, that has nothing to do with what their mission is and who they find their members to be.
Yeah, and I figured out what I was talking about, and it still is the case.
And you guys also worked around to the fact that nobody was, like, pulled out of the car, so the car set on fire.
The guy was not a member of the Proud Boys. The guy is doing a story on the Proud Boys.
All right.
And then someone who... The guy identified as members of Antifa started beating him up. And the story... I don't know his name, but this is the thing that happened. The publication that he used to work for said that he got brain damage from the attack and no longer works for their publication. a critic replied, I can't think of a bigger self-own than saying that someone is brain damaged and now is working at a better place. Than our publication. But anyway, I my heart goes out to him and his family. I hope that everyone in the world is fine, no matter what they believe in. Let's just continue having more and more people until the planet's resources are completely consumed.
Which is going to happen eventually. Yeah. On that note. So actually what Jennifer was talking about is something that I was referencing the last time when you had your phone do that weird thing.
Yeah.
When that happens, I generally listen to that part of the show just because, you know, it's interesting and I want to see how bad it sounds.
Oh, yeah.
And there are some times where we are, like, super in sync for what we're just babbling on about while we're not talking to each other.
Right, and can't hear each other, and, yeah, that's...
We can't hear each other. We're killing time. We're you know, we're filling the air. And we're BSing until we connect again. And we don't generally talk about the same things. But yeah, one of the weird things that happens is that we'll stop talking for a moment or two. And then we'll start talking again. But we start talking at the same time. Or sometimes, and this is kind of interesting. I think once, I should put together a supercut of all this. Once we both went... at the same time while we weren't talking to each other, while you were still, like, in the process of calling me back.
Are you familiar with the movie Ghost Dog? Have you seen it?
I have not.
I might have brought this up in a previous podcast, but there is a character in Ghost Dog who only speaks French.
Okay.
And Ghost Dog cannot speak French. But Ghost Dog talks to him in English, and he answers in French, kind of. Like, they talk at each other. And lots of times their conversations sync up. Showing that they're understanding the situation, even though they don't understand each other. It's pretty good.
I like it. Right, cool.
All right. I'm going to go back inside. Let's see how Edward goes. I'm going to put him down. Okay, here we go. I'm going back inside now. Yeah. Come on, Edward. Oh, what? Edward's following me. Come on, Edward. Oh, look
maybe,
at this.
Maybe he just wants to be back inside.
Come on inside, Edward. Oh, Edward is inside now. Edward has followed me into the house. And he is following me into the room. Oh, this is exciting.
Oh, well.
Oh, look, he's going right back to where... Okay, he wants up on the bed. He's... Man, I gotta tell you, Ben, and I think I've mentioned this before, but his little stance that he has, because he's part Dachshund...
Yeah?
...is pretty crazy. He looks like a little bulldog. He's got little bulldog front legs.
Right.
And it's pretty cool.
And this is the first dog you have owned as an adult, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and he's so and super tiny. I am now spoiled to any big dog.
We're a few months in. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. Going pretty well. He's getting a lot better about going on the pee-pee pad. Or as people call them, puppy pads, whatever. We're trying to get him to both poop and pee on them, and he's doing pretty well, because as I've mentioned in the past, I believe, we are worried about what's going to happen when it gets cold out. Because he's already a kind of a shivery dog. We're definitely going to have to get him a little jacket.
Yeah, a little doggy sweater.
Maybe little booties as well. But yeah, we're thinking he's probably gonna have to go inside a lot more.
The little booties will definitely help when it's, say, raining and cold and he goes outside and then comes back inside. You can just take the booties off.
Yep.
When I was a kid, one of the things that we had to do if the dogs came inside from the outside is we had to take a towel and wipe off their paws. And if you are trying to wipe off a dog's paws who doesn't want their paws wiped off, it's really hard.
Yeah, well, this is the great thing about having Edward. He's so small and used to being manhandled.
You can just pick him up person-handled.
I can do pretty much whatever I want to him. And there's not a lot he can do.
Consent is sexy, Paul.
No. I'm imagining now a Bigfoot talking about humans. Yeah, I mean, they got no fur. You can pretty much just poke them and they won't do anything.
Yeah,
I think about that a lot. Like, if there were intelligent creatures that were a lot bigger than us, how much it would suck for us. Because
we would no longer be on top of the food chain.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I can think of, like, lions... And angry elephants. There are things out there that
but they're
will
not,
have their way with humans.
They're not as smart. I'm thinking about, like, smart, able to manipulate us and stuff. Maybe,
gotcha.
Like, if whales had hands and would,
if
like, reach onto boats
hands.
And like, you know, like, make us dress up and stuff like that. Like, if all of a sudden we got shoved into these huge kelp outfits that made us look stupid, and they were like, oh, look at that. It's amazing.
Hey, come here. Look at what I just did to this human.
Yeah, and again, I go back to the idea that maybe events are actually extra-dimensional creatures, and that's exactly... Like, any time that our cars... break down right as soon as we get a big paycheck.
Right.
That's actually an extra dimensional being, like, messing with us, going, look at that. Look at how upset they are. All that money. And it just goes right back into making things the same way that they were.
Your character's income, his contentment, the pleasure bar is getting a bit too high. You got to bring that down some. Okay, yeah. Mess up his car.
Exactly right.
Keep it within normal parameters.
I wrote a thing that I sent to Steven. And okay, so I had it's one of Paul's dreams. One of Paul's dreams. I had a dream that I was in this building. And as you got to higher floors, you had more and more control over reality, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So I was trying to get through this gate. I was trying to bluff my way through, but it turned out that the key that I needed to get into the gate, I had one and it still worked. So I was able to get in with no problem. And then I snuck up to another floor and there were like guards looking for me, like police or whatever. I went up to one other floor and then I was just on a business level and there were just business people walking around and nobody really cared that I was up there. And then I went up one more floor, and in that floor, there was just a room. It was like a bedroom. And I was like, oh, if I'm in this room, there isn't going to be anyone checking on me. I've made it. I've made it to the cool room. This is the goal. And in the room, there was paper. And if I would write stuff on the paper, that stuff would become real. And then I woke up. And in trying...
do you remember anything you wrote?
No, I don't. I don't. But in trying to remember that dream, I realized that I had hit upon something. And it's kind of what I got out of the dream was this sort of real world application thing. And it goes like this. So there's a fictional universe, right? A fictional reality, if you will.
Yeah.
That is infinite and it extends outside of our perception and our timeline and everything. It can last forever. The storyline is like vast and multi-layered, and there are different realities, you know, like the Wizard of Oz doesn't exist in the same universe as Star Trek. But the story of the Wizard of Oz might, you know, that whole thing, right?
Right.
Like, there are fictions inside of fiction, and they might be fictional in that world, but they might not. So the DC universe, Spider-Man maybe doesn't exist because he's part of Marvel, right? But right. I believe or, at least you know, once in DC, somebody had a Spider-Man comic, or they have crossovers... you know, for one comic book where Spider-Man shows up in in the Justice League, or the Justice League and Spider-Man work together because Marvel and DC, like meet that, like legal obligation. Like they're both like, yeah, we're cool with this. Let's do it because it's, you know, for AIDS or whatever. I don't know. There's a special comic book that they write for a charity, and you get Superman meeting Spider-Man, for example.
It's basically the Who Framed Roger Rabbit of comics.
Exactly, yes. Who Framed Roger Rabbit is a great example. Warner Brothers, Disney together. But so that's the fictional universe.
Warner Brothers and Disney, which is basically DC and Marvel.
Exactly. Well, that's a very good point. Yeah, you're right.
Warner Brother owns DC.
Then we have our physical universe. And our physical universe is like a piece of wood, a human being, you know, all the stuff, the actual physical stuff that makes up the universe, right? The physical universe that we live in.
Right.
And then there's this sort of bridge between the two, which I call augmented reality or augmented space. Sorry. So there's fictional space, physical space, and then augmented space. And augmented space is kind of both at the same time. So there's the piece of wood that I talked about earlier. But there's also the idea of a table. And when you look at a table, you can think about food being on the table. There's no food on the table, but you can think about there being food on the table. So that's a fictional space overlay onto a physical space. That makes sense.
Well,
right?
Wait. I mean, let me see if I can follow you. Thinking about stuff manifests it.
No.
In this augmented space.
No, in the augmented space, you are manifesting fictional things in physical space, and we do it all the time. You know, you write a word on a door. So you write women on a door, right? And all of a sudden, by writing women on the door, you bring into a physical space. Physical space doesn't stop men from going in, right? Men could go in all day long, right?
Yeah.
But when you write women on the door, it sets up, again, I'm using the term fictional because it's an overlay over the physical world that doesn't exist, except in our minds and our perception and everything like that. So as soon as you write that on the door, you bring about the idea that men can't go in there. Right?
Yeah.
But there's nothing actually physically stopping men from going in there. But we behave as though there is something. Most of us behave as though there is something. Rules. Right. So rules are the sort of in between of physical reality. I mean, yeah, physical reality and fictional reality, or physical space and fictional space.
Yeah.
Right? We as human beings adhere to these kind of rules in our daily lives all the time. You know, we're in a car. You can drive a car anywhere you want to, but there's a symbol on the road of a line, and we act as if that line is a barrier that you can't cross. That kind of thing. So,
right.
What am I talking about all this? As
what
far
are you
as how
about?
how does this work with theater? And the idea is that theater is a subset of this augmented space with different rules. So if this makes sense, you and I, right, are people. And we live in this augmented space where we don't have just our physical bodies. We have our entire history, all of our memories, all of our dreams and aspirations of where we want to go in life and all that kind of stuff. So there's a fictional version of us that we have overlaid on the physical version of us. What kind of a person I think I am, for instance, right? Will sometimes dictate how I act in certain ways. So I have the physical, actual actions that I take. And then I have the mental concept of myself that drives those actions or explains those actions away after I've done them. Because some people have stated that a lot of times our justifications of why we did something aren't actually why we do them. We do the things first and then we come up with why we did them afterwards. It's a kind of an interesting idea. Like you're going to pick up a glass, right? And you think in your head, I'm going to pick up this glass. But the signal to your arm to pick up the glass happened before you thought, I'm going to pick up this glass. Kind of interesting. But all that being as it is, in theater, you don't just have Ben in your head, right? You have the character that Ben is playing in your head. A separate fictional identity that you've put on your physical body. You're still Ben, right? And in the same way, the costumes that you wear as an actor, they're physical costumes, right? They exist in the physical world, but when you move into the augmented reality of theater, the thing that the costume represents gains more meaning. One could say that happens in the real world too. Like if you see someone dressed as a cop, you think that they're a cop, usually, right? And everything that brings on. But the point is that it's not just characters, it's also the set, you know, and the lights and the music and all those things transport us from the augmented space into the fictional space. It's again overlaid, right? But all of a sudden, Ben isn't there. I mean, Ben is still there in the physical space, right? But Ben kind of disappears, and the character is what's left there. Right? That's basically what we do when we do theater, kind of. We make the physical world adhere to a different augmented world than the one that we live in day to day. Does that make sense? Kind of?
So all of this came about because of this dream of this tower you had?
Sort of. Yes, that and also and I think the reason that I had this dream of this tower was because I was watching the Dark Crystal TV series.
Okay.
And I was looking at Edward when I was watching the series, and I was like, wow, this is kind of funny, but if Edward and I were both puppets, I, as the Paul puppet, wouldn't be able to perceive who was manipulating the Edward puppet. For me, as the Paul puppet, the Edward puppet would be moving on its own, right? And I would just have a blind spot to who was moving the Edward puppet.
Well, would the Paul puppet know that Paul was a puppet?
That was the second part. That was the thing that freaked me out. I was like, oh man, not only would I not know, would I not recognize the people manipulating the Edward puppet, but I wouldn't know that I was being manipulated. And that's when I was like, well, wait a second. How do I know that maybe my perception that I am a brain moving this, you know, meat puppet in space? What if me thinking that I've got my own brain is also an illusion, and there is a puppeteer that I can't perceive who's doing everything with me?
I think I think the puppeteer you refer to is what Freud might call the id.
Maybe so. Pretty crazy, all things considered.
Or if you wanna, you know, fictionalize it, maybe, instead of having our brains be completely ourselves, you know, they say, you know, humans only use 10% of their brains, which I think by now has been disproven.
Yeah, it's totally debunked.
But that it's possible that maybe, you know, some advanced society has figured out a way to hack the brains and input code that is hidden from a normal human consciousness.
Yeah.
And they can control and manifest things sort of like in Inception, and make you think you are making these decisions of your own free will, but instead you are not a physical puppet with, you know, strings like a marionette or even with a hand up your backside, but you are still being controlled.
Well, yeah, and this goes back to the thing that I was mentioning where I was mentioning to Jennifer, not to you, sorry, when I was talking about all this, that a sprite on a TV screen, you know, when you're, or, you know, your avatar, your character, when you're playing a video game, is right. A puppet. I mean, that we have these controllers that are manipulating them, but how is that any different than the marionette thing that makes a marionette go?
Right.
You know what I mean? So that was the big thing, is I came up with the realization that it's puppets all the way down. and to which somebody asked me on Twitter right before I logged off for the time being, said, hey, have you ever heard of being John Malkovich? And I'm like, right.
Have you ever heard, sorry, I missed that. Have you ever heard of what?
Being John Malkovich.
Oh.
It's like, right. I mean, there was a whole thread about puppetry and reality and all that kind of stuff in there.
Yeah.
I forget what year that came out.
Maybe that's why puppets are so popular these days, is that the overarching consciousness is trying to get us comfortable with the fact that puppets are cool. So when you find out that you yourself are a puppet, you'll be okay with it.
Yeah, and I would be okay with it, I think. I mean, I feel like, again, I can't tell you what started me thinking about this kind of stuff exactly about the Dark Crystal until you see it yourself. I was thinking about it before then, too, but well, I can tell you this. There's a character, I mean, there's a virtuality game, and I can't think of what the name of it is now, but in it, you're a little fisherman who has a little puppet fisherman that he's manipulating. And the puppet fisherman looks up, and there's another puppet fisherman above him who's manipulating him. So you're manipulating a little version of yourself while being manipulated by a big version of yourself. It's pretty great. But that's that kind of concept of you can have a puppet in a puppet show manipulating another puppet. And
Awesome has done that, but that leads me to the question, how high up does the puppet hierarchy go?
Yeah, exactly.
Who puppets the puppeteers? Rob Whitmer and his then wife Margaret, they did that same thing during a Half Brothers show. Was it Half Brothers or was it Awesome? I think it was a Half Brothers show. Where they did the song called Did You Forget the Puppets?
Oh, yeah.
And so Margaret and Rob are doing this little puppet show of this, you know, this couple that is going on a road trip. And then the puppets start controlling little tiny puppet versions of themselves.
Oh, that's great. And yeah, I will say that is the Half Brothers. But at least that's their song.
I figured that out eventually.
I have heard them play it before. Do the Half Brothers play at all anymore? Or are they... on hiatus?
I think they're still together. They don't play as much as they used to. You know, everybody's got families these days.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I said, are they still on hiatus? Not are they broken up? Because, you know, the concept of a band being broken up has really taken a turn for me anyway in these last 46 years with bands who famously had broken up getting back together again and playing.
The Rolling Stones recently played Seattle. I'm like, I didn't even know that they were still touring.
But like Information Society got back together again. You know, that kind of thing. And that was years ago.
Every once in a while, I'll be driving down I-5 and I'll pass the casinos around Tacoma and they'll be like, Styx is coming to town. I'm like, Styx?
Well, okay, here's something.
Other band you thought was broken up, but they're still touring the casino circuit.
Wildy Theater out here in Edwardsville. Very small venue. Very small venue. 10,000 Maniacs were going to be playing. And I was like, what? 10,000 Maniacs? And of course, it's 10,000 Maniacs. Without Natalie Merchant. And it's like, right.
Why is that of course?
Because the reason I thought that they weren't going to play together is because Natalie Merchant famously left the band and then did her solo career.
Yeah.
But of course, they got somebody else.
So it's now 9,999 Maniacs?
No, they added another one. They got a new Maniac to be the... the lead singer. How do they get all those maniacs on stage? It's crazy. But
she's a maniac.
So wait, if you're a maniac, how many levels of maniac do you get to know? I have a whole thing on my blog about Inception and the idea that you could have varying levels. You might not just wake up, but you might actually. You'd have to. I'm not going to get into it, obviously, because I still want Jennifer to listen to this podcast. But it's on my blog if you're interested. Famously,
For those of you listening, what's your blog's address?
Oh, it's Paul Goody. .wordpress.com, I think.
Ah.
Pretty sure. Yeah, but Jennifer famously, when a train appeared in Inception and crashed into the cars that they were driving or whatever, and she said, "Where'd that train come from? It must have driven through one of the plot holes," which I thought was great. Plot hole that you can drive a train through. But I still like it. It's still a movie that I talk about a lot, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to talk about plot holes of Inception. It's time for a feature, Ben. A little thing that we like to call corrections. We'll do the ding afterwards. I'm sorry.
I thought you were winding up for the jingle as I was ready.
I pulled out of the ding, and I apologize. so everyone, just in case you want to know, someone has coined a term that it's not my term. It's a term that they use, Wikipedia smart. Someone is Wikipedia smart when they look stuff up and they know things. You know, that person that didn't know anything about something even, you know, 5 minutes before you did, but now knows everything because they are looking at the Wikipedia article. Well, Ben and I are trying to take a stand against that, and we do it by not looking stuff up on Wikipedia when we're doing the podcast or Google or any of that stuff, and we don't try to do any research beforehand anyway. Because
how can we possibly? We don't even know what we're going to talk about.
Exactly, that's right. And so, we are giving you our brains as well as they work, without computer enhancements. But there is a problem with that, and that is that we sometimes get things wrong. And we say that's okay. It's okay if we get things wrong. In fact, we prefer it if we're wrong, but we also then like to be corrected so that we can learn a little something. And that's how we do it. We ask you, the listener at home, if you know that we did something wrong, if you have a correction for us, write to us at bensemail@yahoo.com@gmail.com. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, great. Every week, I'm afraid I'm going to mess that up. And of course, we have one of our...
Every time you mess it up, I have to create a new email address based on what you accidentally said.
We have our ringer, our longtime listener, long-suffering wife of mine, Jennifer Pratt, also known as Jennifer Fact Checker, who listens to our podcast and then listens to most of our podcasts as long as we're not talking about stuff that she has expressly told me she hates listening to. She'll listen to the podcast on anything we get wrong that she can correct. She does so. And we read those corrections in a segment that Ben and I do that we like to call corrections. Ding.
Ding.
Then that's how you can tell where our lag is between our Bluetooth and our cell phones.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Well, when you went out and talked to her earlier today, she mentioned something about Proud Boys. We were talking about Proud Boys last week because there was a big demonstration in Seattle, which apparently is allowed. And you mentioned something where they were you compared them to the Westboro Baptist Church, but I don't remember saying exactly that they wanted.
And I actually never got my thought out. And if you're listening to these in order, this is the thing you've been waiting for. Westboro Baptist Church, they're the ones who have the big anti-gay signs.
Right.
They use slurs a lot in their signs and things like that.
They show up outside of funerals for famous people.
Yes. The thing that Jennifer has pointed out to me is that they want to get into confrontations because the way they make money is through lawsuits. And it's possible.
That's the way they make money.
Yes. By suing people who get into it with them.
That's actually happened here where they walk around just being jerks and somebody's got a video camera and they're waiting for someone to punch them. They're waiting to get into a fight. And so there will I see a lot of Facebook posts of my friends saying, look, Proud Boys are causing havoc around Cal Anderson Park. Don't engage.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe that's what it is. Maybe that is also a fundraising. I mean, it's a model. It's a model you can try to do. Paparazzi try it also. Getting footage of a celebrity freaking out on them so that they can get money for having footage of a celebrity freaking out.
Yeah. So at one point, one of us, I don't remember who, because I don't listen to the show, as previously said, said that the Proud Boys want to one-up the Westboro Baptist Church. And so Jennifer's fact check of that statement is the Proud Boys have made no statements saying they're in any way interested in one-upping the Westboro Baptist Church.
They're
simply tasked with inciting political violence.
Yes. So I think that it was me who said that, and I did not mean that they were against them in any sort of arena. Just that maybe they were looking to get funded by inciting political violence and then making money off of lawsuits.
Speaking of political violence, we have another correction from one of our long-suffering listeners of the show, Stephen.
Oh, Stephen McCandless. Hey, Stephen.
We were talking about the AR-15, and unsurprisingly, in the last, 2 days, two more mass shootings have happened.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Anyway, we were talking about the AR-15, and I believe you mentioned that it's cheap for what you get.
This is relatively inexpensive. What Jennifer had suggested, that it's an economical way, and also not just Jennifer, but people that I know who actually have them. If you're looking for a high stopping power semi-automatic rifle, the AR-15 is not the only one, but it is one of the most affordable. And that's not me from having bought one, that's just the information that I had at the time.
Steven writes in and he says, you talk about guns and describe the AR-15 as, quote, cheap for what you get, and somehow avoid the phrase more bang for your buck.
Yeah, I
which I blame myself for that. That's low hanging fruit, and I should have thought of that.
Speaking of low hanging fruit,
don't do it.
But yeah, exactly. It's hot today. It's not actually hot today. There's a problem that I have again, where I am a middleman in this situation, if that makes sense. But the big thing is, I have determined that if I were to live in an area like my parents, where the nearest law enforcement officer that could show up would be 20 minutes away, that I might purchase a firearm to have just in case.
It's for protection.
Well, I'm thinking more animals, but protection from animals. Because the other thing.
Do they live in bear country?
No, but, coyote. I'm not going to fight a coyote.
I don't think a coyote wants to fight you either.
Well, no, probably not. But you never know. We've talked about the wild hogs thing, I think. But I don't know. People made a lot of fun of the 30 to 50 wild hogs guy.
No, Paul, you're getting it wrong. It's 30 to 50 feral hogs.
Oh, I'm sorry. 30 to 50 feral hogs. But the thing is,
important detail.
And I looked, the guy was from Kentucky. Wait, where was Bill Clinton from?
Arkansas.
The guy was from Arkansas. Sorry. Kentucky is a place too. where that happens. The guy was either from Kentucky or Arkansas, but either of those states, both those states, there is a thing where you might actually run into a bunch of feral hogs. True story.
Yeah.
Now, well, was it hyperbole that they showed up into his yard where his kid's playing 3 to 5 minutes after they leave? Maybe so, yeah. But if I lived in a place that had wildlife like that, I might want to have something. Now, here's the thing, though. If I was dealing with people, like actual human beings, I'd be nervous because I am, I'm not necessarily the most social guy, like as far as carousing and bars and things like that, but I am a social animal in that I want people to like me and I want to avoid conflict and things like that. And therefore, I don't think a gun is a very useful tool for me to have when dealing with other people, because there's a play that Brett Fetzer wrote that I've talked about in the past, where a guy has a gun on him and he talks the other guy into handing him the gun and then holds it on the guy. It's a great scene, and I forget exactly what the name of it is, but I can see that happening where I have a gun, but then all of a sudden the other person has the gun instead, because they do enough of a, you know, making me second guess myself that I hand it over. I can totally see that happening.
One of the tenets of the gun regulation argument is that you have your farmer who may deal with 30 to 50 feral hogs. Does this farmer need a semi-automatic rifle?
And the answer is yes.
You have a hobbyist who just likes guns and he lives in the city, or maybe he lives in Texas, but he's not a farmer, so he's not going to possibly run into 30 to 50 feral hogs. Does he need an AR-15?
And here's the thing that I would say. There is one guy who I talked to about this kind of stuff. Not necessarily the main guy I talked to about this kind of stuff, but another guy that I talked about this kind of stuff, who says absolutely they don't. But
it's a constitutional right to buy it.
No. Absolutely they don't, which is why it should be a local law. Your city, so he's a big, first it becomes a city ordinance, then it becomes a county law, then it becomes a state law, finally becomes a federal law. So basically in your city, it should be illegal to have that. And here's the thing that I'm going to get at that I know you're probably thinking of. I don't know how he feels about Chicago. Because if he brings up Chicago whenever saying that gun regulation doesn't work, which I don't think he does. I think he's one of those people that would say, well, it's a problem that the city of Chicago needs to take care of with their police and blah, 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 blah. As opposed to saying it's a failure, because the cornerstone of one of his gun regulation arguments is that gun regulation should be local and not federal. And that's a couple of people that I deal with a lot. That's always where they go to. The county sheriff has more authority, or should have more authority over your life than the president of the United States should. That he should be the, I don't know how this guy does on his taxes. I don't know if he pays taxes or not. You know, that kind of thing. Always gotta wonder about.
Yeah, let's not even get into the whole, like, what are they called? Free citizens?
Right, and that's the thing, is that it's dangerously close to sovereign citizens. Dangerously sovereign close citizens. To that thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I had a college roommate who was heading down that road.
Really?
He was talking about how taxes were illegal. Yeah, he never paid his taxes.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing to think about, because, like, I don't. Let's say, for example, you're in a chess tournament. All right. And you say to me, "Hey, man, chess rules aren't binding at all." And you just, you know, when the guy tells you that you were checkmated, you say, "Uh-uh," and you knock all the pieces over and you throw it on the board and throw it out and all that. If you don't care about chess, right, at all, then yeah, the rules of chess don't matter.
Well, this goes back to your, you know, the augmented space over reality. The white lines on the road don't have any real meaning, but we give them meaning.
Right, exactly.
You know? And so if you don't follow that, then the fabric of society starts to crumble.
Right, and that's the thing, is that, again, the First Nations guy that I talked to when I was living in Canada, the border between the U.S. and Canada doesn't exist for him. Like, legally, it doesn't exist for him.
Right.
And yet, often when he crosses the border, they detain him.
Yeah.
And eventually they always let him go. Well, yeah. Right? They eventually have to let him go, and they do. And I don't know if I don't even know if that really is true anymore. Like, there might be new laws or whatever, but the thing is that...
I think border security is kind of ramped up in the last 20 years.
The sovereign citizen thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, the guy... There's a video online, a guy is trying to mail a package, but he doesn't want to use stamps. He wants to use, like, his old stamps or whatever, and I don't know exactly how it works, but he thinks that he's found a loophole that should allow him to mail his package or his letter or whatever it is without buying stamps, and eventually the police come and arrest him, and he's doing his whole am I being detained and all that kind of stuff. The thing is,
I love that phrase.
Maybe after the camera is off, right? Maybe they do let him go, and maybe they apologize to him or whatever. But
I'm wondering though,
but
if that also goes both ways.
What's
that? Like, for when the camera's on, like, who's filming this? Is it like his wife or somebody in his family?
Yeah,
friend?
I don't know.
Filming this to
remember.
Give him like major cred, and then when the camera's off, he completely relents. He's like, okay, I'll go spend my 2 days in prison.
I think what happens, I really think, if I remember correctly, what happens is he's filming himself, right, and filming the people, and then when the police arrest him, his camera goes off, and then they use their camera footage. And maybe it's him, maybe he used, you know, the Freedom of Information Act to get their camera footage and then splice it into his video. It's possible. But the thing is, like, if my landlord, right, if I move out and my landlord says that I owe $200.
Yeah.
And if I pay him $200, then we're all square. Or I can go to court and say I don't owe him $200. A lot of it has to do with how much do I want to invest in collapsing this waveform of his reality conflicting with mine.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that the folks that do the sovereign citizen thing and all that are highly invested in having the time to spend in jail, in handcuffs, argue with police officers, all that kind of thing, rather than, like, you and me, I believe anyway, we go a long time without ever interacting with police officers.
We go a long time without interacting with police officers. Haven't spent any considerable time in prison. I've never been in prison. I know you were arrested once.
I was arrested, but I did not spend any time in prison.
Ah, gotcha.
And if I would have spent time, it would have been in jail. not prison. Prison is the step up from jail.
I guess I never make that distinction, because honestly, I don't know what the distinction is.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I get it. I have a relative. One of my sister's ex-husbands was a correctional officer, is still a correctional officer, and so I know a little bit about that stuff. Not a lot, but at least some. And so yeah, it's pretty interesting.
And speaking about pretty interesting, hey Benny!
Speaking of prisoners.
Yeah, exactly.
Till you're 18, kid.
Hey, Betty. Hi. How's it going?
I'm doing okay.
So, Betty and I have started watching an anime.
I've started watching My Hero Academia.
It's called My Hero Academia.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's pretty great. Pretty great.
Never heard of it.
Pretty awesome and great.
Here, I'm gonna put the headphones on Betty so that she can talk to you.
What about you?
Oh well, I'll try to figure out what's going on.
So wait, I was actually like listening to you guys earlier.
Uh-huh.
And, you were?
Yeah, I was. And what's with the wild hogs thing?
Oh, okay, so Ben might be explaining it to you, is he?
No.
I'm not. Go ahead and explain it. I don't know.
There was a guy on Twitter.
Yeah, you explain it. You know more context.
Dad's...
Okay, so there's a guy on Twitter who, when the idea of banning the AR-15 happened...
AR-15? What's that?
AR-15 is a type of semi-automatic rifle.
Oh, right. Guns, right.
Yeah. Semi-automatic rifle. So he said, question for rule, folks, how do I stop the 30 to 50 feral hogs that enter my yard within 3 to 5 minutes of my children starting to play? Or something to that effect. And the idea is this. Feral hogs,
mm-hmm.
Which are pigs that have gone wild, have a lot of cartilage that protects them from lower caliber weapons.
Oh.
And the idea, 30 to 50 of them are a lot. And so I watched someone,
I don't know what happened,
in a video shoot.
I think they just hung up on me.
Like 40 wild
hogs.
After a while, you start getting bored.
I'm going to call them back.
Because
it's no longer
killing something. It's
service. Oh, there we go. Yeah, Paul probably doesn't even know that I am no longer on the phone.
Ben hung up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Call him.
It's somebody killing a lot of things. and so it...
Oh, wait.
He's calling back.
Yeah.
So it's somebody...
Hey!
Hey, one sec.
Hi.
Hey!
Well,
so, sorry, we got disconnected.
About? Oh, okay.
So somebody killing... a lot of things, like killing more than 3 or 4, it starts to become work rather than, and it gets boring. And I think that's why people want the semi-automatic things, just because I can't imagine having to reload 40 times. It would be crazy.
Oh my gosh, you can't even do it. Who's got time for that?
It's like...
Yeah, who's got time for that?
If you're hammering in 40 nails... After about the first 3, you want a nail gun. And that's sort of...
Oh, yeah. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Man, they should have just... in the future, when, like, people prohibit nail guns, they're probably going to be like, how do I nail these 30 to 50 nails in 3 to 5 minutes?
While my children are playing...
Well, my children are playing outside waiting for me to finally build their playhouse.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I feel as though there's a never-ending...
Story?
there's a never-ending cycle of...
my humor is terrible.
Of, like, banning stuff, like a balancing act, right? Mm-hmm. There are people who want all of the things, and there are people that want none of the things, and most people are trying to find a balance that everyone can live with. No pun intended, live with, because people are dying.
it's not people, great. People are dying every day, Dad.
I know. Why? Stop it.
Because people aren't immortal.
That's right. You know who else aren't immortal? The Skeksis!
Yeah. Dad's been watching the Dark Crystal stuff.
So I hear.
It's done now. I've watched all of it.
Oh. Is it good?
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
How many, ask your dad how many episodes there are.
I gotta say, My Hero Academia, also really good.
But how many episodes of the, Dark Crystal are there?
10.
10.
Okay. Are they half hour or hour long?
A half hour or an hour long?
About 40, 45 minutes.
About usually. 40 or 45 minutes.
I consider that an hour.
He considers that an hour.
Yeah, an hour then.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Well, it looks like it. Tell your dad, well, it looks like it's that time.
Yeah, it looks like that time.
Hey, well, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
And,
Ben, I'm giving you back the headphones
probably,
now.
Okay, I'll talk to you later, Betty.
Bye.
Hopefully that went well. We'll see.
Sure.
you could hear me, right?
I could hear you, well, except for the time when I got disconnected.
Yeah. We always get disconnected at some point in time. It's really weird.
Always.
All right. Well, Ben, until then, please, for the love of Pete, keep it wrong.
And Paul, do me a solid, and you keep it wrong as well.
Hey, all right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.